-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode and the second part of a special edition of -3, presented as ever by Omaha, Eddie Spaghetti, behind the glass, and soon to join us once again. You heard him on the first half. We broke down the entire NFC side of things, much like you would find in your summer Sports Illustrated NFL preview or the Athlons or the Street and Smiths, you know, when you'd sit out on the beach or by the pool in summer and memorize it, obsess over it. At least I would. That's what we're going to do audio style with Matt Verderam, one of the brighter minds talking football these days, like I say, for Sports Illustrated. And you know what, Eddie Spaghetti, we already heard all about the NFC. He had some thoughts, some critical, about your New York Giants. Some optimism, though, where they're concerned, Dallas Cowboys. Bottom line, go listen to that. And now it's the turn of the AFC with our guy Verderam. Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, here he is, everybody, welcoming him back on the other side of Memorial Day weekend. Open up your Street and Smiths, your Athlons, your Sports Illustrateds, football previews for the NFL as you're out on the beach. Instead of opening up the magazine, though, get us in your ears here. It's the 21st century medium called podcasting.
That's right.
Joined once again by our guy, Matt Verderam, of course, from Sports Illustrated. No, not I will say legitimately on my list of go-tos for. All right. I mean, we, not hot takes and all that kind of stuff. Like, who knows what's going down in pro football right now? Verderam is an essential follow for any pro football fan. Make sure you're following him on social media and reading his great work on Sports Illustrated. We covered the NFC last week. Now let's jump into the AFC. You know the drill, Verderam. We can go nice and fast here. All I'm looking for, say something nice, say something bad. We'll talk. This kind of reveals contenders and pretenders in the conference. We'll start in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills, who ended in a real disappointment, kind of a jaw dropper almost the way they went out. Yeah. Because it was, you know, the storyline with Buffalo is always like, you don't have to go up there in December and January. And then they almost lost to Miami in December up there in a big game. And then they almost lost to Miami in a big game in January. And then pretty boy Burrow and company went in there and housed them. How say you on the Bills in 2023? Win total 10 and a half.
Have you looked at the Bills schedule this year?
I haven't gone through it.
The Bills schedule is insane. Like,
they're going to regress is my overarching comment about them, like a lot of people say.
I mean, you could make a real argument. They're the hardest schedule in football. In fact, I wouldn't make that argument. Like, they have, first of all, the division stuff, okay? Then they got a first-place schedule. So they've got Cincinnati on the road. They've got Kansas City on the road again in December. Sheesh. And they've got Jacksonville at home, but the game's in London. And the Jags will have already been there the week prior because they play the Falcons in that back-to-back London situation. So they're there for that. The Bills have to play at Philly. They've got Dallas. I mean, it is like good luck. So I didn't get a factor of that. Look, I think talent-wise, they're right there. Just about anybody. I mean, Allen's a great quarterback. They've got weapons. They bring in Kincaid in the draft. I like Kincaid. Defensively, they lost Edmonds, but I think they're still very talented. The big thing is Miller being healthy and Hyde and Poyer not looking their age because they're getting older.
I mean, but coming off, I'm with, you know, listen, you know, where I come down, Cam Hayward is still knocking around the league, but a lot of those the all-time great first round draft of 2011, was it 2011?
Yep.
Most of those guys have moved on now and Von Miller's still hanging around, but coming off of injury and depending on him.
Scary.
You know.
My thing with Buffalo, my overarching feeling, to use your word, is that I still think they're talented, but I'm to the point, like, is something just missing a little bit with them? Is it the coaching? Is it Allen in a big spot sometimes? I mean, Allen's had some great games. Allen had that 13 seconds game that they lost, but he was magnificent. My concern with Buffalo is, you know, the last 3 years you've gone to the playoffs, and okay, in 2020 you go up to Kansas City in an AFC title game. You're not as good yet. That's fine. You're getting your feet wet. You get waxed. No problem. Then you go back up there in 21, you have that game I just referenced, which is an all-time classic. You lose because, frankly, you just stopped coaching for 13 seconds and you got beat.
Right.
Then last year, you're the favorite. Everybody's picking you to win. So I picked them. I'll throw my hat in the ring. I picked them to win. So everybody in the world's picking them. And they didn't just lose. They got pummeled. I don't want to hear about Von Miller. Listen, every team has injuries. You were at home in that game. And that game is one of the rare times at a 27-10 game. You're like, yeah, it wasn't even that close. Like, they're fortunate that was the score. I don't think they're better than Kansas City or Cincinnati. I don't. And I don't even know that they're the best team in their division this year. I think
I agree. You don't want to get yard. I mean, you don't want to get yard sticked at any point, but not in a divisional round against the, you know, is yeah. Okay. Chiefs number one, but then Bills or Bungles. And it was apparent. Throughout, yes. Who the far superior team
smoked them
as bad as the offense. Let's not forget also how bad a state the Bengals offensive line was in going into that one. It was supposed to be a walkover because of that, and instead the Bungles smoked them.
I remember I picked the Bengals that week, and people were just irate. They're like, hey, they can't block them. I'm like, Anarumo is going to give them fits, and Anarumo to me is the most underrated coach in the NFL. We'll get to the Bengals later, but I don't know. I think the Bills are a playoff team. I don't know. I don't know this year if the Bills are going to be in the divisional round in the AFC title game. Like they've got a lot to prove.
I'm with you about the notion, and we talked about it last week where the Packers are concerned. I think we can't gloss over the fact that if you are a culture of losing, that's hard to overcome. But also the inertia of you know, 9, 10, 11 wins year in and year out is a thing. And you don't just all of a sudden vanish. So I'm not calling for an apocalypse up there in Buffalo. I do think, though, the competition has gotten stiffer in the division and they got exposed. In my, I think there's also a rhythm to your title winning window. And I the way it goes in my mind and it, my sense of history is that you're right. They lose that 13-second one in Arrowhead. It's like, are they going to bounce back from that? Then they go into Arrowhead whenever that was, October-ish last year, and they beat them. And I thought, signature win for their state of mind. And then it amounted to nothing. Their window might have come and gone. I don't know. I think we might have seen the best of this era of the Bills is the point that I'm trying to make.
I just think if you're a great team, and look, there's examples where this isn't the case, so I'm not saying it's a catch-all, but like, you don't get housed like that at home in a playoff game.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right.
I mean, if you look like the Chiefs have lost games under Mahomes, but they've lost two games at home in their entire postseason jaunt, if you will, with Mahomes. They've both been in overtime. Like, these games, like it takes everything to take that team down at Arrowhead Stadium. The Bengals with Burrow, they've never lost at home. Now, it's only a handful of games, granted, but like they don't lose at home. And even when they've lost on the road in the playoffs, it's taken everything to take them down. The Bills have had these games where like Skylar Thompson should have beat them in a playoff game. Like, really should have. Like, if the Dolphins could have managed the play clock, probably win that game. And then Cincinnati goes up there and just embarrasses you. I mean, at some point, you just wonder, like I said earlier, is something missing a little bit? Because that just doesn't typically happen. You know, the Niners of the 80s, like they got blown out by the Giants. That game was a Giants stadium. That was a candlestick. They just got hammered. And, you know, like, oh, they just overwhelmed them. I just wonder with the Bills, is something just not right with them? And
well,
they're
not efficient. You know, it's one thing, like, you know, if you replace a run game with, you know, West Coast offense and efficient completion rate and all that, that's not what Josh Allen and the Bills are. So yeah, I'm with you that they're in this weird spot. And you mentioned the Miami Dolphins. That's the team I was high on last year. I'm staying with them. I'm going to stay optimistic here through the summertime until Tua proves me wrong and hurts his back again or whatever that injury keeps being. 9.5 is their win total. So I forget Jalen Ramsey has joined the bunch here. How say you on these Dolphins?
You and I are in the same boat. I'm going to pick them to win the division. I feel smart now.
Now, if you hear that, spaghetti,
I'm rolling with them. You know what? I'm with you. Like, Tua thing scares the hell out of you. Has to, right? But like, if he's healthy, they're more talented than Buffalo.
Yes.
Sorry, they are. They have their two weapons on the outside. That's the best duo in the NFL. Period. End of story. They have speed for days in the backfield. I like to see him add a tight end, but with McDaniel, that's not the way he wants to play. They basically benched Gesicki a year ago, so fine. The offensive line's not great, but I think it's good enough, especially with all that speed. You can window dress things enough to slow guys down. Tua, when he played last year, was good. Like, he wasn't unbelievable, but he was good. He was fine. And defensively, my thing, the biggest addition any team made this offseason was Vic Fangio. The biggest. Vic Fangio can coach. That defense was a sieve last year. It will not be a sieve this year. Phillips and Chubb on the edges are very good. You have guys inside like Wilkins, who's a very good player. The secondary now, you've got Xavier Howard, you've got Javon Holland, you've got Jalen Ramsey. I'm sorry. I know Bills fans will hate to hear that. If Tua is healthy, to me, that team is more talented and they're at least as well coached, if not more well coached.
Yeah, you just said it all. Is there any way to diminish them? Offensive tackle was their issue last year, but those were both owed to injury. Both of those guys had to sit down for long
stretches. They
got to
stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. If Miami stays healthy, sure. I think they're a very, very good team. I think they're a contender.
Fun. New England Patriots, a lot of whispers of late about how good that defense secretly was up there in Foxborough. I'm quietly kind of hip on them, except, again, in the QB league, I am uninspired by number 10 there, Mac Jones.
I love their defense, but they're going to have to win every game like 1917. And in the NFL today, you're not winning every game 1917, especially in that division where like you're going to score some points. I mean, you and I both know, look, in the 90s, you could win games 14-10 all the damn time, right? I mean, you could just do that. I don't care how great you are defensively now. You need to score mid-20s and up. You just do. I mean, that's the league we live in.
They do finally have some nice pass catchers there, at least, right?
Do they? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
Gesicki goes up there is nice. Now they can put two tight ends like Belichick wants to do. Bill O'Brien.
I like Gesicki. I do like Gesicki. But it's like they lost Myers and got like Juju in there, which is fine. But I think he's like the same guy, basically. I don't know. You know, Devontae Parker, I don't know. I mean, is he ever going to like break out the way we all thought he was after his one big year? Like I just look at them and look, you know, with Belichick, a couple of things. They're going to play defense. They're going to be really well coached. And offensively, they'll run the ball. I mean, Stevenson's a beast, right? Like they'll run the ball with him and they'll be able to block some up front. But I will never, ever count out New England as a playoff threat because with Belichick, that team's always going to be able to win games it shouldn't win. They'll win games they're supposed to win. I just think they're really limited. Like in that division, it's just, unless somebody's ravaged by injury, I think it's hard for them to climb out of the cellar of it.
All right. So many teams to still get to here, and I don't want to belabor any one of them because I'm trying to be respectful of your time and the listeners. You have to go jump in the water if you're listening to us while you're sitting on the beach, as I instructed you previously. But now we get to the most fascinating, perhaps, of all teams, the New York Jets. They have a new QB, if you haven't heard. Their win total is 9.5. Talk about them positively and negatively, would you?
Look, they're a team that last year was in the playoff hunt in December and then fell off a cliff because they couldn't score a point. They went out and say whatever you want about Rodgers. I mean, he's a massive upgrade over anything the Jets have been trotting out for the last 20 years. So I like that they went out and got him in a vacuum. I don't like the fact that they gave up a decent amount for a guy who might be there for 1 year. And last year was, frankly, was not good. I mean, he did not throw for 300 yards once. Now, again, I get why they did it. And offensively, they've got weapons. Breece Hall can play. Garrett Wilson's excellent. Uzama's an underrated tight end. So that's the upside. Plus the defense, we all know, is a very good defense. And Saleh can coach the defense. Here's my question. Nathaniel Hackett's running that offense. And I don't want to hear anybody say to me, well, he was in Green Bay. That's nice. Matt LaFleur runs that offense. Like, now Nathaniel Hackett's going to run it here with Rodgers. And I know Rodgers is going to have a massive say, and that's fine. My biggest concern with them, though, inexperience in terms of the coaching. I mean, Saleh's never won anything as a head coach, and Hackett has never been in charge of anything that didn't look like an absolute colossal disaster. And the tackles. Who the hell's playing tackle for the Jets? Mekhi Becton, who's always hurt, and they just declined his option. Dwayne Brown, who I think is 37 years old. Max Mitchell, who started either 4 or 5 games. My memory's failing. It was 4 games. And they drafted Carter Warren in the 4th round. This is not 10 years ago where if like there's pressure off the edge, Rodgers is going to scramble out and throw a 70-yard bomb off the wrong foot. This is now when like if there's pressure off the edge, Aaron Rodgers is going down. So my big concern is, can you block in a division where you have Judon and Uche on the edge in New England, Miller and Rousseau in Buffalo, right? You have Miami, who we talked about with Phillips and Chubb. You play, who are the other big-time teams? I mean, the Bengals have Hendrickson and Hubbard. The Chiefs have Jones inside and Karlaftis and a blitzing coordinator in Spagnuolo. Like, if you can't block, you're dead on arrival. That's my big concern with the Jets.
I agree with all of what you just said there. And, the recurring point that I make with Rod, he didn't play well. I know he won the MVPs 2 straight before last year, but you can't ignore the progression of time, and the indications are that once you get to this age, you don't get better. You don't have bounce back years at age 40. So I'm concerned about that. I think he's doing the right thing this summer. He's off to a good start with the New York media, but they can beat him up real bad. And he has shown that he's receptive to criticism. So I don't know how that aspect of it goes. And with the Hackett thing, you're exactly right. Big kerfuffle that I thought was nonsense a week and a half ago with Roethlisberger and what he said to Kenny Pickett. If you are the main man for long enough in the NFL, in the quarterback league, and you're headed to the Hall of Fame, yeah, you have an ego. Peyton Manning was essentially the offensive coordinator. He liked working with offensive coordinators, but he was dictating what was going to go down. You think Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur aren't overriding Nathaniel Hackett in Green Bay? I think Hackett kind of got exposed in a mediocre situation in Denver. I don't think that's a great, because Aaron Rodgers likes him. Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers tells him what's going to go down here. Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger got Randy Fichtner to be the offensive coordinator for more than 1 year on an NFL team because he liked him and because he had his way with him. This is the way it goes. It's not an indictment of any of those guys. It's just not the idea that Hackett is going to be some big solve for the New York Jets is an overreach on my in my opinion. Okay, we both agree on the Dolphins winning the East, right?
We do. We do.
All right. Now let's get to it. My main event as an AFC North wonk. And we'll start with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Cool. Win total 11.5. A lot of pressure on you, Joe Cool. How say you?
I love the Bengals. I mean, I think, you know, Burrow to me is the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Mahomes. At this point, I take him over Allen. I take him over anybody else not named Mahomes. I think.
Agree.
If I, you know, I talked about Hill and Waddle as the best receiving duo in the league. I'll tell you who for me is 1B. They're in Cincinnati. I mean, and you could argue they're number one with Chase and Higgins, right? And sure. If you wanted to go trios, I would give you Cincinnati with Boyd. They still have Mixon. They add in Chase Brown in the draft. He'll replace P. Ryan. Their offensive line, I know a lot's been made of Orlando Brown. Take it from somebody who admittedly here is a Chiefs fan. Like, Orlando Brown's going to have some games in Cincinnati where the Bengals fans are happy. They're also going to have other games where they're screaming at Orlando Brown the entire game. I mean, it's just the way it is. He's a matchup-based tackle. If you get a speed rusher on Orlando Brown, you got a problem. Okay, so I still think the Bengals are going to be a very, very good offensive team. Defensively, I said it earlier, and I'll expand on it. Anarumo, to me, is the most valuable coach right now in the NFL. Mm. I mean, he is – you want to argue Andy Reid, that's fine. Anarumo, in a conference that is loaded with quarterbacks, is the one guy who gives them all problems. Allen looked like hell against them. Mahomes has had games where he struggled against them. Like, Anarumo is a really, really good defensive coordinator, like a great coordinator. So you look at their talent on defense, and it's fine. It's not bad.
Eli Apple.
But it's, yeah, you're not like overwhelmed by Chidobe Awuzie, right? I mean, Pratt and Wilson are good backers. Hubbard's fine. You know, Hendrickson's a very good player, but you don't look at the Bengals defense, go, oh my God, there's five Pro Bowlers on it. But that unit will play very well. They're very well coached overall. I still think the Bengals are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC, and I don't know that it's particularly close.
It's funny. Have you noticed a recurring theme? We talked to Yastrzemski, the big Dolphins fan as well, over at the Ringer, Eddie Spaghetti. What is it with people from your region of the country that call the Bengals? Where I'm from, it's pronounced Bungles. I don't know, but he's saying it Bengals, like the 80s band, Walk Like an Egyptian and all that. Sure. Why does everybody do that from up there?
I don't know. We're screwed up. I have no other excuse for it, but maybe we're right in Europe. I don't know. We'd have to get somebody from like the West Coast, I guess, to weigh in.
All right. Yeah, hard to diminish the Bengals at this point, given what they're squarely right in their window right now. Yes. Hard to knock them down. Cleveland Browns, a fascinating team to talk about at any time in any given year, for their ongoing suckitude and their attempt to rebound in year two. Yes. With Deshaun Watson, win total 8.5.
I'm going to be short and sweet on this. Until Cleveland gives me any reason to believe in them, I'm not picking them to do anything. I just am not. I think Stefanski's a decent coach. I still think defensively they're underwhelming. Like, Ward's a really good corner, but like, what else is there? I don't know. You know, is Greg Newsome ever going to show up and be the first round corner he was supposed to be? They're fine. Dalvin Tomlinson's fine. But I feel like Dalvin Tomlinson, he's a good player, but like, he's the quintessential. Like, we got Dalvin Tomlinson. It's like, yeah, okay. And there's a reason like he was available. He's good. He's fine. But he's not going to transform your defense, right? I mean, that defense is Garrett and it's Ward and it's, hey, you got to hold up everywhere else.
Now they throw in Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah. Za'Darius Smith was great to start last year and then like fell off a cliff. Now, maybe he's great again for him this year. Like, I think Cleveland is talented. And in the NFC, they're a playoff team all day long.
Sure.
In the AFC, I don't know. I mean, like, Watson, put aside all the heinous stuff for a second, just on the field. Watson, before he left Houston, was one of the best players in the league. He was a wreck last year. Now, how much of that is the fact that he was just rusty as all hell? I don't know. He was awful. And when you look at that team, you know they can run the ball. You know they got a good line up front. Like, I don't know. I mean, the receivers, like Amari Cooper, he's a good player. Donovan Peoples-Jones, you got Njoku. I think in the NFC, that team's a 10-win team all day, every day. In the AFC, I think they'll contend for a playoff spot, but I think they're right around that number, 8 to 9 wins, and I don't think they're one of the 7 best teams in the conference.
I'm with you, and I don't think there's a bum team in this division. I think they're four pretty rugged teams. So let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens trying to make a major philosophical overhaul here, which they need to do with Lamar Jackson, or if they had moved on from eight, they would have to do it anyway. Todd Monken comes from Georgia to try and make that so. Lamar Jackson singing songs about pro-style offense. This is what we need to do. Can he make that work? Baltimore Ravens, go.
Okay.
Oh, their win total is 9.5, too, by the way.
I am going to be – this is going to be the AFC team that, like, if I'm wrong, I'm going to get skewered for this, and it's fine. I think that the second they sign Jackson, which, by the way, they should have done, I think the window slammed shut on them.
I agree.
Because
– I'm not celebrating as a Steelers fan. I'm celebrating because I agree with someone smart.
Okay, there you go. I think, like, and when people hear that, they're always like, you wouldn't have paid Lamar. I'm like, I'm not saying that. But
you
when
had you to pay, do it.
Yes. Right. But when you pay a guy that much money, you better be damn good everywhere else. And I look at the Ravens defensively, they're not damn good. They're not. I'm sorry. Nope. They just declined Queen's option. Peters is a free agent. Houston, who, by the way, Justin Houston still really play, is a free agent. Okay. Jason Pierre-Paul is gone. You look at Chuck Clark is gone. You look at them and you're like, I don't know. Like, is Owe going to step up? Because to this point, he's kind of been eh. You know, Matt, like, you look around the
Ajabo, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but Ajabo's a guy who, like, was a top 15 talent, but then got hurt. You don't know what he's going to be. I will say this. I believe in Harbaugh as a coach. He is a very good coach. But I look at them offensively, all these people, we talked about this on the first part of this podcast, where it was like the positivity, Lamar Jackson has never thrown for 4,000 yards. And everybody just wants to kill Greg Roman and be like, it's because of him. It's because of... Have you ever considered that they played like that because they felt like they had to? I mean, has anyone ever stopped? And again, people take that as, oh, you don't think he can throw the ball? No. I think he's got an excellent arm and he's improved every year in that regard. But he's never been asked to throw the ball in a way that Mahomes has, that Burrow has, that Allen has. That's just a fact. I mean, that's just reality. They've never asked him to do that. And when you look at this team, Beckham comes over to me was on a crazy amount of money. Like 1 year, Odell Beckham hasn't been a star player for the duration of a season in like 6 years. Okay.
So true. So, but what it said was, hey, we're baiting things for you, Lamar. See, yes, we're getting some receivers. But so they did it for that reason. But that doesn't mean it's a good move.
It doesn't mean it's going to work out. Like Bateman is talented. He's never on the field. So and then you go out and you draft Zay Flowers. Maybe it will be great. We'll see. I mean, this is the third time they've taken a first round receiver since Jackson's been here. And the first two guys, Bateman is good, but injured a lot. Hollywood Brown was a guy who had talent, but had a lot of drops, was inconsistent. Like, I think the Ravens are fine. I think they're a tough team. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the playoffs, but I do not see them as a contender like some of these other teams. I just don't. I think they're fine. And I think they need to make the shift that they're making because they've got to find out if they can play like this. They have to. You're never going to win the playoffs where they've played. But it's in the end, though, like, I don't trust Beckham to play 17 games and be a Pro Bowler. Why would I? He hasn't done it since, like, 2017. And that's a big part of who they're supposedly going to be this year.
If there are some major questions and you consider them all to be coin flips, I think the Ravens have as many coin flips in front of them. Is J.K. Dobbins going to be back to where he was before the knee injury? Is Odell Beckham still relevant? What's that secondary going to look like? There are so many questions around them that must turn positive for them to be a factor in January. I really am with you. And where you started, people get confused by that. I get hit up on social media and otherwise, like, you're the one who said they had to sign Lamar Jackson. Now they had to sign him. Yes. You cannot, as an NFL, you can't let him go. But also, I think that there's now a ceiling imposed on how far the Baltimore Ravens can go. Because here come the Pittsburgh Steelers. 8.5. They won 9 last year with a rookie QB and without TJ Watt. 8.5. Where is this coming from? Say something nice. And say something bad about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Matt Verderer.
Okay. So I'm actually going to start with the bad here. And then I'm going to dovetail the nice thing.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett, it was a struggle at times last year. Like a pretty significant one.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of Steelers fans who, thankfully, very nice of all of you, who follow me on Twitter, who will be like, He was a lot better as the year went on. It's like, I got to tell you, he was pretty average at best, like, as the year went on. Like, he had one game he threw for 300 yards, and it was against Buffalo, where he threw it 60 times and got killed. Other than that, it was a whole bunch of, like, 150, 170. That's the downside. Here's the good side. I think defensively, they're very talented. They're obviously very well coached. Offensively, I actually really like their weapons. I mean, Harris is a very good running back. Deontay Johnson is a good receiver. Now you add you have Freiermuth and Washington at tight end. That they should be good in the red zone. I mean, just based on that alone, they should be good in the red zone. You know, Allen Robinson, he's a lottery ticket. If he works out, great. If not, but right. You acquired him for nothing. I love the Steelers draft. I thought their draft was as good as anybody's draft in the NFL. Broderick Jones coming in, that solves a real need. Joey Porter Jr. I know people are like, oh, it's cool because he's Joey Porter. So the hell with that. Like, he could play. He could have been a top 15 pick. So, Patrick Peterson, look, at this point, is he who he once was? No, but he's still a competent corner. He'll help Porter along. That's fine. And they have Fitzpatrick, who's a turnover machine and all the rest of it. So I actually really like the roster. Pickett is the thing that scares me. But the last point I will make, their schedule is a joke. Outside of their division, you look at the Steelers' schedule. I mean, there's not too many games you're like, oh, that's a loss. I mean, they could be a pretty average team and win 10 or 11 games. Like, here's my hot take with them. Every year there's a team, you look at them, and you're like, I don't know how that team's in the playoffs with 11 wins, but here they are. I think the Steelers are going to be that team this year. Where you look at them, the Giants were that team last year. We're like, I have no idea how this team is a six seed, but here we are. And they won a playoff game. I think the Steelers could be that team this year.
I get the cynicism where Pickett's concerned based on what he showed in his rookie season, but they are so loaded up everywhere else. And the intent you can kind of tell isn't to cover him up or diminish his role. What they're going to do, and they tried to do it with Roethlisberger, they just didn't have the roster to do it. Clearly, they're holding on to Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator, a guy who a lot of people in Pittsburgh don't like. But what they're trying to do is what I described with the Eagles in the last show. Everybody, not everybody, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, or the names on the short list, Joe Burrow, it is to beat the hell out of the I think the ebb and flow of offensive football in the NFL is swinging back, not entirely league-wide, and good, because you just watch the NBA playoffs, a lot of sameness in the NBA. Not so anymore in the NFL. There are different ways to skin the cat. They are going to try to beat the hell out of you. That is how, at their best, and I don't get too swept up in the old man, like, they got to get back to running like they did with Franco and the Steel Curtain, just dominating teams. But that is essentially what they're trying to do. Even at receiver, Deontay Johnson is always open, but George Pickens is a monster. And on the other side of that, Joey Porter is a monster. They want a certain kind of cat, and that's what they said about doing with Omar Khan and Andy Weidel. Loaded up at both sides of the line of scrimmage. I mean, I know Eddie Spaghetti says I'm a homer. A homer don't get the record within a game every year. They are going to win 11 games minimum. That's my minimum for you, Verderrama.
Okay. I got him at 10 or 11. I think the schedule's favorable. I like Sayamalu coming over, by the way. Yeah. I think that's a nice signing. And I didn't mention Pickens. Pickens is excellent. The roster's really good. My question's Pickett. If Pickett can be the 16th best quarterback in the league, I think they are a playoff team. If he can't be, then, you know, I mean, look, again, this is another team. They're in the NFC. They're absolutely, like, rolling to a playoff spot. And in the AFC, you look at it and you're like, well, somebody's got to miss it, right? Somebody's exactly going to be sitting home. But Pittsburgh last year was not anywhere near as this talented, and Pittsburgh was playing for a playoff game in Week 18. So,
that's right. And they played half the year without one of the five best non-quarterbacks in the league.
Correct.
T.J. Watt is a major factor before you even start talking about Minka Fitzpatrick and what Cam Hayward does.
100%.
All the rest of it. I'm very excited, if you can't tell, about that. And there is legit buzz coming from inside that building about a Super Bowl run. I'm not talking about, like, let's get to double digits. They're
calm
talking
down.
That talk.
Calm down a little bit.
All right, I'm just telling you what the buzz is. That's all. They don't have to tell me.
Let's calm down a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about your team. Okay, so you're picking the Bengals in that division, right?
I am picking the Bengals, yes.
I will take the Bungles as well, but I do think for where the Steelers are concerned, I think they have a real shot at second place in 2023.
I do too.
All right. With that conversation now out of the way, I could go on and on about it. Wait, because Greg McElroy, who knows infinitely more about QB in college and the NFL than I'll ever know, he had an interesting take on. I'm like, all you hear about Pickett is he's like all night pouring over film, and McElroy's response was like, yeah, that's the job. Every guy does that. You think everybody doesn't do that? Like maybe not Kyler Murray. Every guy's doing that. That is not an advantage. That's the requirement if you want to be a starting quarterback. Everybody's hitting the books real hard. So that was a little bit of a gut punch emotionally. All right. AFC South, here we go. We can pace it up on this one as well. Yep. Although I guess the Jags are intriguing. The Houston Texans, I also count as a fun team this year. 5.5 is their win total. I'm going over there. How say you? Something nice, something bad?
I think they're about at that total, 5 or 6. Look, I like D'Amico Ryans. I think he's going to get that defense squared away here in the next year or two. I love it. I don't care what anybody says about that trade that they made during draft night. Everybody's killing them. Oh, they gave up. I don't care. If Will Anderson turns out to be a really good player, fine. Fine. You need to get good players. It's like when these people defended Sashi Brown forever because it's like, they have all these picks. Yeah, and they suck. They suck every year. And congratulations on all these picks you had. You turned into Justin Gilbert. Like, go get good football players. If Stroud and Anderson are good, I don't care that they traded away one of their billion picks after the Watson deal. Go get guys who can play. I think there's a chance they got two cornerstone players in that draft. They need cornerstone players. I think Houston in that division is going to be fighting for third. But you know what? That's okay. They need to start somewhere. Look, my concern is, does Stroud have anybody around them, or does he just take some lumps? But they got Robert Woods in there as a veteran. I do think they can run the ball with Pierce. So yes. I think they actually do have a couple of pieces. I like Tank Dell. I think he could be fun for them. But I don't know
what Mechie he's going to be, but nice stories. You got to root for.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a question. But I think overall, look, they're going to be better. But I don't think they're going to be a team we're talking about by Thanksgiving as a relevant team.
Okay. I'm looking forward to their new uniforms. Those are the drabbest going in the league. Not the worst, just the most forgettable.
Yeah, boring. Yeah.
Did I give their win total 5.5? Yeah, we did say that. Indianapolis Colts now. Anthony Richardson on the way in. Sure you heard about that. Win total 6.5. Kind of low. How say you?
I would say that I think their record is going to be the worst in the AFC. So I'm going to go low.
Ooh, whoa. Explain yourself.
Now, Colts fans right now, they're firing up the emails. Now, listen. I think that Steichen's going to be a very good coach. And I think Richardson has a chance to be a very, very good quarterback. But Anthony Richardson has not thrown 900 passes in his life between high school and college ball. Steichen has never been a head coach. I have a feeling this is one of these years, kind of like the Bears last year. You watch them and you're like, you can see that there's talent. But they just can't win a lot of games. They just can't put teams away. You know, like everybody talks about Shaq Leonard, but he's hurt all the time. Like, can he ever play? And I'm not knocking him, but he's hurt all the time. It just is what it is. Offensively, it's Pittman and it's Alec Pierce and it's a bad offensive line. And it's just, I just feel like it's one of these things where Richardson's going to be a weekly highlight, but then there's going to be two picks where you're like, ooh, like shouldn't have made that throw. And you know what? He's going to have the same reaction. He's going to go to the sideline and go, yeah, I'm not going to make the same mistake again. And I believe that, but I think next year is going to be tough for them. I just think, a lot of youth, the coach, a lot of youth, the quarterback. I think the talent's there, and I think eventually those guys are going to take off in Indy. I just don't think it's going to be this year.
Only thing I'll say about them is, and I keep repeating this one, but circle the name. I think he's a sleeper by conventional wisdom in fantasy. Anthony Richardson is who you want, as you just heard from Verderam. They're going to be bad, so they're going to be throwing in second halves, and he's going to make a lot of plays with his legs.
He'll run around because he can't block anybody.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I like him quite a bit. All right. The prohibitive favorite in the division, the Jacksonville Jaguars, win total at 10. How say you?
I like the over. I mean, look, they play a horrid division for 6 games, and then they play the NFC South, right? I mean, and they get the Bills games as a road game in London, which is basically a home game for them. They get Kansas City at home. So I think they're going to be well over. I think they're going to clinch that division by about December 1st, quite honestly. I think because of the schedule and they're ascending, I think they're going to be fighting for the top seed in the AFC. I don't think they're the best team, but I think because of the schedule, I think they will end up being a top three seed with Cincinnati and KC. Love Lawrence, love Peterson. I like, you know, Ridley obviously is a real X factor there. You know, how does he play for them? The only thing I'll say on a bad side for them, I thought defensively they had to add some stuff this year, and they didn't do that. Like, I look at them, and in a playoff game, who's rushing Burrow? Who's covering Travis Kelce? Who's, because like last year, that was the problem for them, and it's still the problem for them now. So I think they're very intriguing. I think they roll in that division. I think they even probably win another playoff game, but I don't think they're yet to the level of we're going to go to Arrowhead and win. We're going to go to, well, what was Riverfront and win. I don't think that they're ready to do that yet.
I think defensively they were callow last year, and sometimes, you know, the actual like aging of the maturing body makes football players better. I mean, there are a lot of 22, 23-year-old cats running around on that defense. I think they're going to be better for an extra year of time in the league. And in the meantime, I think in our satisfy me immediately, or I'm casting you aside kind of society we're in, the relative slow burn of Trevor Lawrence, who was can't miss, and he didn't, and he kind of did miss in his rookie year, yep, has bought them this sort of underestimation still as we have this conversation. I don't think people are really factoring in that if Trevor Lawrence starts to ascend, even in the all-time mighty QB collection in the AFC, if he joins that group, which he's expected to two years ago, I mean, I'm with you completely that they could be the number one seed, not the best team, but by virtue, same as Ryan Tannehill's Titans 2 years ago, they could be the number one seed. Speaking of whom, the Tennessee Titans win total 7.5, way too high in my book. How say you, Verderam?
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good. They are tearing that roster down, which they should be, by the way, with Rand Carthon. Vrabel's a really good coach. Like, they'll stay in games. Defensively up front, the front seven, they're pretty good. I mean, Simmons is one of the most underrated players in the league, and they still have Byard on the back end. We'll see if he gets moved, but they're throwing the ball to you and me. Like, who the hell's catching the football for this team? Like, and the other part of it is too, like, Henry knows that he's on the block. Tannehill's last year. You just wonder if it's one of those years. If this thing starts to go sideways, if it really goes sideways, I'm out on Tennessee. I do not think Tennessee will be good this year.
There didn't used to be trades when I was growing up. They didn't have mid-season trades, but this is the team to circle that, like,
no doubt.
Don't get wild betting on their totals. Certainly don't go over 7.5 there, because they are intent on, it would seem. I won't be surprised if Ryan Tannehill, I said it to you about the Niners, if you put him on that team, they're better than with any of their QBs, and they should send him back down to Miami where he could potentially play a hero if things don't go right for Tua there. Yes, he and Derrick Henry and so on, as you say. Yeah, I'm down on them for winning more than, yep, you know, five, yep, to seven games, and that would be largely owed to Mike Vrabel, as you say. All right, who's winning that division? Easy one, right? Jags?
Yeah, Jags.
Oh, well, you said number one seed overall, so obviously.
Jags won the division by six games.
All right, and we're now turning the corner in the home stretch. The AFC West is upon us, and we'll start with Russell Wilson's team. No, Sean Payton's team, the Denver Broncos, win total 8.5.
Yeah, I'm under. Like, I think they're better, because how could they not be? At some point, you just got to look at what you're seeing and just believe it. Like, Russell Wilson hasn't been good for a while now. Like, I get he was, like, really bad last year, and I think he'll be better than that. Russell Wilson was always special because he could move around behind the line of scrimmage, right? And he created chaos. Like, he doesn't do that anymore. That just doesn't exist with him. Now he just takes sacks. I feel like we're going to be in about week three, and there's going to be a moment where he takes a sack on a ball that, like, they perfectly schemed up to get Courtland Sutton wide open. And they're going to have one of those shots on CBS where they show Sean Payton on the sideline, and Payton looks like he's about ready to, like, take out an entire family's worth of people. I think that we're headed for that by about September 28th in Denver. I think offensively the receivers are good. The line is better with Powers and McGlinchey, although McGlinchey's more of a run blocker than he's a pass blocker. I don't know what Javonte Williams, he's a real big talent, but that was a serious injury we had last year. And then I said it earlier on our NFC side of the show, like, Evro did a great job as a D coordinator there. This is a sneaky reason I'm out on Denver. Evro's gone, and everybody's like, it doesn't matter. They have a great defense. Do they really? Because Sertan's great, and Simmons is really good, and who the hell else scares you on that defense? Name one guy. And they replaced Ivro with Vance Joseph. And I like Vance Joseph. But what does Vance Joseph do? He plays single high and he blitzes the hell out of you. And guess what? If you do that against Mahomes and Herbert, you're giving up 400 passing yards and five touchdowns. Like, that's what's happening. If they play like that against those two teams, they're 0-4 to start the season. So I just think schematically that defense is going to be a disaster against the two better teams in the division.
Well, you just look at it, you know, my two cents, simplistic as it is, you know, Russ's hero is Drew Brees. And I actually thought that at one point when all those rumors would not end about Russ's leaving Seattle, I thought he was going to wind up in New Orleans and that would be neat consistency and Peyton would enjoy that up. You know, but your point about Javonte Williams or otherwise, like that's how Drew Brees made it the last half decade of his career was choice routes to Alvin Kamara the whole time. And he needs somebody to be able to do that because he ain't pumping it downfield like that. A lot of experts on QBs said to me a month in, 2 months, like this ain't coming back for
us. It's over. Yeah,
he's got dead arm or whatever you would call it. The arm ain't as live as it was 3 or 4 years ago. And it was discernible. Okay, now we'll talk about your guys. The Kansas City Chiefs win total 11.5. How say you? See if you can say something bad about them.
I would take the over in the total because they're over in that total every single year with Andy and Mahomes. So I would take the over. But, I mean, look, I think if you're looking for the question marks, they have two new tackles and Juwan Taylor and Donovan Smith. I think Taylor, look, he should be fine at right tackle. But at left tackle, Donovan Smith is a real question mark. He was terrible last year. And if you talk to people inside the Chiefs, they'll say, well, you know, he was hurt. Okay, fine. But that doesn't mean he's going to bounce back and be good. So that's a real question mark. Their receiving core, just leaving Kelce aside for a minute, their receiving core has a lot of questions. They love Kadarius Toney.
I do too. I don't know why I'm hip on him. He proved me right in January.
The reason why is you saw it in the Super Bowl is the talent's through the roof. I mean, there are times with him where he does things like, oh my God, like, I don't know how you stop that. But can he do it consistently? Can he do it for 17 games? Then they're relying on 2 second-round picks and Sky Moore and Rashid Rice. Now, Rice, we have no idea yet. Moore, when he had the opportunity, was okay, but he was buried on the depth chart last year. So they have questions there. Now, the obvious positive side is I think defensively they're better than people think. Like, they actually are a pretty good defensive team. They have a lot of youth there, but, you know, Nick Bolton's a stud. They're strong down the middle. They've got Jones, they've got Bolt, Willie Gay's an excellent linebacker. They're good at corner with McDuffie and Snead and Williams and Watts. I mean, they just have a lot of guys who can throw at you, and they're very well coached. But the obvious thing is Mahomes. I mean, you have Mahomes, you have Kelce, you have a very good interior offensive line. Andy's going to scheme guys open. Like, they're the kind of team that you just – it was kind of like when Rodgers was at his apex with the Packers, where you just looked at them and you're like, yeah, if he's healthy, they're winning like 13 games. I mean, you just kind of pencil them in – to the divisional round. And then it's just like, are they at home? Are they healthy? And you kind of go from there. But yeah, I think as long as they're healthy, that team's probably a 13-14 win team.
15 to 30 seconds on this, just because it's a rolling debate on the Extra Points Network. How much better do you think Patrick Mahomes is than Joe Burrow? Because you said earlier, you think he's the 1A.
I
don't think the margin is that great between Mahomes and the next two or three names.
I think it's significant, but I don't think it's like Burrow's obviously proven he can beat him in a big game. So, I mean, you have to give credit there. I would say this. When Mahomes is at his best, it's a force unlike I honestly think I've ever seen in my life. Like, where there are times where you're just like, there's nothing you're doing. I don't care what defense you're in, how much pressure you get, it means nothing. I think there's every other quarterback in the league. There's something you can do to slow them down. Now, maybe it hurts you in other ways, but you can do something. Mahomes is just, when he gets going, it's almost impossible. I mean, you just have to score 45 points, you're losing. So I do think it's significant.
It is funny that, you know, this is true of a lot of great quarterbacks, and we all, the broadcasters always drop their jaws about like, oh, it's unfair when blank great quarterback can also run. But it is something different about like you have to devote an extra man in coverage to Mahomes. So he always, if he has his head up, if you don't get him on the ground, he always, it feels like, has the option to run for 10 yards. He always, that will always be there for him because he's so dominant throwing the ball that it's required for them to drop an extra guy. Right? Is that, well, am I reading that right?
No, I think it's, I mean, but even like in the playoffs last year, it's a perfect example. Like, we basically saw what Mahomes is going to look like when he's like 37 years old. I mean, he had no ankle. Yeah. Nothing mattered. Like, they needed him to take off in the AFC title game. And obviously, it was Cy help with the penalty, but like, he takes off. Then the Super Bowl, I'd argue, other than the Bolt players, I agree. I think that was the turning point. The biggest play of the game is Mahomes taking off for 26 yards on one leg. Like, he just was like, I don't care. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get the yardage. So, yeah, no, they're until proven otherwise. And I always said this about the Patriots. So this isn't just a homer thing, but like, they're the standard until you beat them. Like, you've got to beat them. The Patriots are like that forever, and the Chiefs have kind of taken over that mantle at this point.
Serendipity. You mentioned the Raiders. You mentioned the Patriots, now owned by a Patriot great named Tom Brady. The Raiders win total 7.5. How say you?
Under. I think it's a downgraded quarterback from Carter Garoppolo. I think McDaniels does what every other New England coach does. He just tries to bring in a million ex-Patriots and recreate Camelot. And if you don't have Brady and Belichick, you're not recreating Camelot. And defensively, love Max Crosby. Love him. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the game. Who else matters on that defense? They are a tire fire defensively. So I don't like the coaching. I don't like the defense. And there's downgrade on offense. The line's not great. I think the Raiders are going to be a 5-win team. I really do. I think Denver's better than them. I'm out on the Raiders.
One thing for what it matters, and I think it's largely overstated, but, you know, both LA teams get beaten up for never having a home game because of the visiting fans and the lack of spirit and otherwise. Yeah. Same is true with the Raiders. Vegas is a destination. People, the visitors look at the schedule and say, like, ooh, that's the one we should go to.
No doubt.
You know, I know in the East Bay in the 21st century, it wasn't exactly a gigantic home field, but in their glory days with Madden and Snake and everything else, it was a decided edge for them that no longer exists in this millennium. All right, last team to kibitz about. Let's bring it on home. If anybody is going to beat the Chiefs, Damashek has tried the last 2 years to declare that the Chargers will overcome the Chiefs and failed both times. I'm not going to do it again this year. However, 9.5 wins, maybe the best addition of the Chargers yet. It looks like on paper. How say you?
I think the Chargers are really talented on offense. Defensively, I think they're talented. I mean, James is great, obviously. Samuel's underrated. Bosa, when he's healthy, is good. Here's the problem. I will always have the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be over that number, by the way. I think they win 10 games. Fighting for a playoff spot. I think it comes down to tiebreakers in a very loaded conference. My problem with the Chargers is I do not think they're well coached. And I just think it, you know, we talked kind of about, you mentioned like the inertia, right, with Buffalo. Like, you win. The Chargers, it's just the polar opposite of that. Anything that can go wrong with that team just goes wrong. It's just cataclysmic disaster, right? So I love Herbert. I think he's a top five quarterback. Eckler, Allen, Williams. I really like the kid they took out of TCU as well, Quentin Johnston. The line with Slater healthy should be good. But I do wonder with them, like, defensively, okay, can Bosa stay healthy? Can Derwin James stay healthy? They lost Drew Tranquil, actually, to the Chiefs. Tranquil played really well last year for them. He is now gone. Like, you just know with them, they're like an injury or two away. And you could say it about any team, but with them, you say it because they always get hurt. So it's like the depth of that team scares the hell out of me. I think they're a 10-win team. I don't trust the coach. I don't trust the health of the players. I do think they're good. And when they're right, they're as dangerous as anybody. That team, when they're at their apex, they can beat anybody on any given day. The problem is they can lose to anybody on any given day. And so give me them 10 wins fighting for a playoff spot, but I don't think they're going to be there, you know, come Christmas Day fighting for the division. I think the Chiefs are still a good, you know, 3 games or so better than them.
It's funny because we talked about with the Cowboys and all the talk about Sean Payton for a decade, and that's now come and gone, and he's in Denver. I think maybe the Chargers fans will look back and regret. Giving Staley one more run at it, but also Sean Payton was sitting there, and that window was open for only one offseason, and it's come and gone. And I don't know if that's good. The thing we talked with Voice of the Chargers a couple weeks ago, Matt Money Smith, about. One of the more undercovered stories last year, along with Tua and how good the Dolphins were when he was playing for them, was Justin Herbert was hurt most of last year. After he hurt his ribs in Arrowhead, people were like, what's going on with it? Justin Herbert's hurt. He can't do the superhero stuff that he normally does. But still, they still get to the playoffs, go up huge on the young Jags, and they couldn't hold on there. Yeah, I think that should have maybe been. I hate to talk about people should get fired, but that maybe should have been the death knell for
Stanton. Great.
That they blew
it's not
out.
Good.
All right, it's so you're good. Taking the Chiefs there. Let's round it all up as we close up our digital magazines and finish it with this. Who's going to the Super Bowl? Matt Verderam. This is unfair. It's a dumb question. We should do this.
I mean, on look, the other side. Like I said, I always do this with New England. I'm going to stick with this. I'll take Kansas City and Dallas, and I'll take Kansas City. Until somebody beats that team and knocks them off, and I just look at the Chiefs, it's like they're not worse than they were a year ago. And if Mahomes is upright, he's a cheat code. If he's upright, that team's probably in the AFC title game. And then it's all just right. Who are they playing?
We'll update this when we're on the eve of kickoff. I appreciate you joining us.
Let's do that.
In front of summertime's proper arrival here. This was a great conversation. Can't appreciate it enough for that. Spaghetti, the one thing you're gonna have to cut out what he said about Pickett. I won't stand for that. Not on this show. Not on this show. I won't stand for it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Verderam's like, he's not like Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger was cool about it. Like, I didn't root for you, but then you won me over. Verderam's like, man, I still don't like you. What a jerk. No. Wait, I take that back too. I got caught up in my feelings. We'll see you in the title game, whether it's in Acrisure or Arrowhead, that's TBD. Hey, man, really sincerely appreciate it. Looking forward to all your coverage all through the summer, getting us right for football and into things. Muzzle Tov once again on the SI gig, richly deserved. And, you know, much like these teams that are on the rise, I say Matt Verderam is that as well. He hasn't even hit his prime yet, and he's already ahead of most people in the world. So congratulations on that. And thanks for all the time, man.
Well, thank you so much. Very kind of you. Appreciate it. Always happy to come on with you guys. And we'll chat soon for sure.
Much obliged. And now a quick break. All right. Good times with Verderam. And one more time, great thanks to him for taking all the time to chop up all 32 teams over the course of these last two podcasts. Great stuff from him. Great insights. You can go around bragging the bars without any pushback all summer long. As I always say, this is the time for optimism. You can't be disproven for feeling good about your team right now until you have some evidence to feel that way about them. I didn't like the Pickett jive, though. I didn't think that was right for him to come on this show and talk that way. He was downright negative.
This is exactly what I said about the Daniel Jones stuff. It's like we're in this era where you can't let a quarterback develop. There's no evidence to suggest that Kenny Pickett cannot turn things around. And first of all, turn around. It's not like he was abysmal. This guy's played way worse than he did. So I think there's plenty of room for him to adjust and become a lot better. And I do agree. Steelers have a really good roster. Also very funny that we did split this into two episodes. The AFC, it's like you kind of know who the teams are, who are going to probably be there. The NFC wide open, two vastly different conferences. So it was great to really get us ready for the upcoming season.
Yeah, and we did our best to try and digest it for you, you know, give you a couple things to think about with every team to kibitz about and ponder in the summertime. Hope you enjoyed that. Obviously, we had to set NHL largely aside and NBA and everything else entirely aside. Make that right by listening to the Extra Points podcast with Cousin Sal. Cousin Sal and the Degenerate Trifecta on Against All Odds, Lemon Pepper Parlay, NBA Finals afoot. Go listen to that one. Soccer, that's your thing, covered in glory. Or Megan Fun of Sports, always hilarious stuff from the two Megans there. And are we back later this week, Spaghetti? We got one coming up with Hench. Yeah,
we'll
in a
be back
days, right?
Regular day, Thursday with Hench. Yep.
Okay. I figured as much. Just didn't want to promote it and be wrong about that. So, all right. Be on the lookout for that one. And if you want to hear the NFC side, go back and listen to it. It's the episode immediately prior to the one you're listening to right now. And until next time, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.